Yes, yes, yes. Get ready for the best in online radio. The Six Eyes Radio Network, kicking it with Six Eyes, ATL, and the crew. What's up, America? How y'all doing? Kicking it with Six Eyes. Six Eyes Radio Network. How's everyone doing?
Oh, we doing great today. It's your boy DJ TLS Styles kicking with my man Six Eyes himself and the ATL
hey.
The crew, man. What's
hey,
up, the crew?
Doing?
We doing it big.
What's going on, brother? What's going on? How you be?
Can't complain, man. Just doing our thing, man. We got a lot to get into tonight. I know there's a big story coming out of Cleveland that we have to talk about. I know we're probably going to go into that after the entertainment report. I'm waiting for all our people to get in. I don't think everybody's gotten in yet, so that's why we're just kind of breezing through.
Yeah, yeah. Give everybody a couple minutes. Say hello to the people. Say hello.
Oh, yes, great. Yeah, we live here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, like always, man. Y'all call 424-243-9617. And you get right on through. Any topic you want to talk about, definitely get through. And definitely follow us on social media. You know, we're on Facebook, Instagram, all platforms out there, man. We also on Spotify. We out there. We doing it big here on Blog Talk Radio. And this is what we call the Six Eyes Radio Network, Six Eyes Radio. And back to my man, Mr. Six Eyes. What's up, Six? Let's do it.
So check it out, bro. You know, August 5th, hey, baby, what's going on, buddy? I'm right here. You know, hey, say hello to the people. You know I adopted Trumpet. Hey, baby. You know, watch out. You know I adopted Trumpet. And adopted them August 5th. And now we just had our Coke. We just split the Coke. He came up to me, and everything is good. Hey, buddy. Hey. How you doing? Hey. So he's here. How you doing? Hey. How you doing? So he's here. So, yeah, man. So Trumpet is here. Say hello to America. Hey. All right. So, yeah, man, that's a good thing, man. Adopted Trumpet August 5th, and they told me it would take some time, you know, for us to, you know, for us to get to know each other. But, Hey, how you doing? How you doing?
Like the sound effects.
That ain't no sound effects. That's a real cat.
And you know what? Six, you asked ATL how he be. Well, I didn't know he buzzed around.
Aw. Hey. How you doing, bud? How you doing?
You don't sting people, do you, ATL?
Hey.
Uh-oh, the phone ring.
So it's a beautiful. Hey. It's a beautiful thing. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. What the heck was that? Hold on.
You go check that out. Oh, you go check that out, man. We need to go to a quick commercial break. I know I was burning up the climb. Oh, backstroke. Backstroking, you know how we do it.
Huh? All right.
All right. A little backstroke right here.
All right. Good evening, everyone. Make sure you press the 1 if you want to join the conversation. 336-448. Press the 1 when you're ready to speak.
All right. There we go. Live. There he is. 4104 is ready to speak. 1,094.
Come on, y'all. This ain't your first time on air, is it? Did we get everybody in yet?
It's Miss Pride and Joy, and I'm in here.
Hey, how you doing, Miss Pride and Joy? Okay. How's your mental for tonight? Thumbs up, thumbs down. How you doing?
Thumbs up for tonight.
All right. Did you hear the news?
What's the news?
Trumpet.
Oh, yeah, I heard.
Yeah, he
Trumpet.
We finally split the coat today. So that's a good thing. How you doing, buddy? How you doing? Yeah. Yep, so everybody's doing good. My mental is two thumbs up. Trumpet is two paws up. And want to say happy birthday to my cousin, Byron, and happy heavenly birthday to Verdell. That is Dave's sister. That's like a sister from another mother. So we just want to say happy heavenly birthday to her and sending prayers out to her children and her brother. So, yeah. Hey, buddy. How are you doing? So, yeah. So we're going to have a good show as always. Going to have entertainment news later on with Pride and Joy. Hope everybody had a beautiful Saturday. Tomorrow is a lot of football for a lot of people. And I know the Cleveland Browns is playing. Now, you guys know I'm not a sports fan like that, but I do root for my team. So hopefully they win.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah. And I don't know what that little toy is. She got some. He got a little toy here. I got to find it. Hey. So, yeah. So.
I think I saw it over in the corner.
Right. Hey, buddy. How you doing? You going to be talking the whole show?
Well, I can say when Trumpet talks as much as six, so. Yeah. That's what's going to be needed. Somebody ring the bell, okay? He is so excited that cat is finally bonded with him. It took a month.
Oh, wow.
It did, man. I'm like, come on. Because the first night he stood on me, and he stood on me. Hey.
Mm-hmm.
He did it one night. Then he stood on me again. I'm like, okay, well, what is this? I said, I didn't hear if they stand on you. What does that mean? And I've been working with him, you know, talking to him every day. And he would never come to me. I'd be sitting, like, right there. I'm like, look, dude, I'm feeding you. I got you a cat condo, you know. When you going to come around? And today he came around.
What was it?
I don't know. I don't know what that was. So everything.
How are you, Pride and Joy?
I'm doing just fine, and yourself?
I am blessed, Sister Ruthie and Missionary Ken, ATL.
Yeah. Nikhil. What's black and white and doesn't scream much? You didn't get that in the newspaper.
Oh, my goodness.
Scratchful, come here. Let me show you something. Come here. Look at this right here. I got this. Watch out. I got this for you. Watch out. See this right here?
If he's coming to you, just let him bond with you. So, ATL, what are you doing on the board? Just playing stuff, randomly playing stuff? I done heard Jeopardy. What's going on?
You been drinking, ATL?
Six Eyes Music.
Well,
all right.
Yeah, I'm back. Hey, guys. Yeah, we're going to get into it. Yeah, a lot of talking. We got to get into the entertainment report, too, soon, y'all guys, because there's a lot to talk about. Definitely, y'all got a big story coming out of y'all state right now. It's very huge across the country. That's everywhere. People was calling me all over the world about this. But I know this is something that I definitely want to pass to Kale and Six Eyes. And I'm going to let the entertainment report, I think she'll start it off. But we're going to definitely get to this story because it's a very powerful story. Out of Cleveland, Ohio. That's all I know is out of Cleveland. And it's not a good one. It's very drastic how this happened and how this person actually got into a situation. But I'm going to let the entertainment report bring it up because I know she's probably got it in her notes. Right? Pride and Joy?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't have that.
You don't have it?
I know what he's talking about.
Yeah, it's across the board. It's a very huge story.
Yeah,
it's a very huge story, and I think we have to discuss. Right, go ahead, Six Eyes.
I was thinking it was a feel-good story, but now I know what story you're talking. And this goes to show you never know. This is this cousin of my sister's best friend that this happened.
Mm.
Yeah. And I was reading both, and apparently they just saw each other last Sunday. They saw each other last Sunday, and hey, buddy, how you doing? No, knock it out. Go be distracted. Let me tell you.
So, the story. Do you want me, Six Eyes, to go ahead and bring it in? Because it's a national story around the world. Everyone's talking about it from all over the country, or even in Japan, Korea. Everyone's talking about this because it has a lot to do. And this is a very sensitive one, too, situation. Basically, it's about a young lady who actually went into Kroger, is that right, and was shoplifting. Made it out to a car past the police. It's not for me with this story.
Definitely a different story. Definitely a different story. So the story I thought you were talking about was the young lady whose brother shot his sister. And she was pregnant. This is the one I thought you were talking about. That's cousin of my
That's
friend.
Another one. It is on. That one is out there, but this one here is a little bit more bigger right here because this one's pushing forward now to make a big decision on basically on how the officer was put in. It's a very accomplished situation. And me and Mr. Brian Tatum had talked about this, and we're trying to figure out logically on this, and this is a very hard one. This young lady was shoplifting from Kroger's. Did she deserve to lose her life? I don't believe she deserved to lose her life. But there's a lot of things that happened on this situation, which I don't know if anyone else was put in the situation, and we got to understand what was a breadwinner or whatever you are, if you're the father, mother, whatever, you were the officer in that position. What happened was the gentleman got in front of the car, and he pulled his gun out to try to make a stop, and she actually went forward, and he actually ended up pulling the trigger and killing her. And it's actually what makes it so sad about this story is that this woman was actually pregnant, too.
You know,
and she died on the scene. Yeah.
Well, see, have a discussion about this. Being that mother's on the – well, Pride and Joy is a mom. Nikhil is a cat. You know, and she'd be a good – too. You know, she got nieces, and Ruthie would be a good mom too. So, my question is, yeah, you be a good father, obviously, and I'm a cat father. So, when you think about these
these. When you think about the stores, and we're all going to have a discussion about this. When you go to these stores, if
and I just want to steal something, and I'm not a thief, but let's say I want to go in there and steal a bag of pretzels. Okay, if I steal some pretzels and a 12-pack of Pepsi.
Okay, they have what's called loss prevention insurance. If I were to go break a glass bottle of something, they have loss prevention. You know, this is why people can go and knock down a display, not on purpose, but a lot of times the older people being those hover around, driving around, and it may go too fast and they may over. This stuff has happened in grocery stores. I've been there when I could see and saw it. You know, and they'd be so apologetic, you know, hey, I didn't mean to do that. Hey, man, don't worry about it. They have loss prevention insurance for that. When people go to the grocery store with something out with a cart full of groceries, okay? It's not worth to get something that's already insured. It's not worth it. A lot of people have to practice friendly driving techniques. A lot of people, you know, have road rage. Not so long ago, a couple months back, this guy was on his way home. The guy caught up to him, shot him and killed him. You know, so the same thing with this parking lot situation. See, it's too easily to carry a gun. It's too easy to readily carry a gun, you know? And that's the problem. You know, that's the problem. It's too easy to carry a gun now and get a gun these days. You know, nobody does any kind of background check. Hey, buddy. He's calling on me. Yo. Nobody just – I'm sorry. I ain't trying to laugh at this point. He's just crawled on me. Nobody is trying to do – hey, buddy. Nobody is trying to do the background check that it takes to see if a person is fit to carry a gun. You know, so now they're pretty much giving everybody a gun. And in Ohio, Mike DeWine passed a law, and I don't know why he did this, but we got stand your ground law. So if one feels threatened, they have a gun and pretty much get off of, you know, get off. If somebody breaks into your house, okay, now this is what doesn't make any sense. Now, they never changed this law. So, ATL, if you break into my house, okay, if you're not facing me, I can't shoot you. But I can shoot you. I can shoot you if you're facing me, I can shoot you. But if your back is turned, that means you're fleeing and you're not a threat. So I gotta get used to this. Hey, excuse me, y'all. So if you're facing me, I can shoot you. But if you're leaving and I shoot you in the back, that means I'm in trouble because you didn't pose a threat. So this whole thing, parking lot situation. People are so easily to have these guns, and pretty much you can get them anywhere. So that's the problem. I don't like it. I wish he never passed that law to where anybody can just carry a gun like that. So I'm gonna be complete.
The
ATL Pride and Joy on the L. Hey,
may I?
Go ahead. Whoever was getting ready to speak.
I wanted to say that same law applies down here in Georgia too. And I think it's actually been passed across the country now. Applies that if someone comes to break inside your house, and if they're not facing you, have a weapon, and you shoot them, yes, you are actually going to be charged with a first degree murder, something like that. Because the fact that the person comes in and even I think it's even something else added with that. Let's say you have a weapon and he doesn't have a weapon, and you kill him. It's always it's something else on that, because I read up on this, and we were talking about this a couple months years ago about that if the person is not a threat, he doesn't have a weapon, and he's not a threat legally doing anything. You can't right. just automatically kill this person in your home. You actually so it's kind of a weird thing, and I think the reason why now I want to get to this point, and I think this is something interesting. Now in this case, since we go to this young lady. The one that got shot in the car, she did move forward her car, and a car is considered as a weapon if someone's trying to run over, because you could actually kill someone running over with a car. So I think that's why a lot of people are very upset, but a lot of people felt that if it was the case, she wasn't that much serious to run him over, and he shot because just by the car just moving a little bit made him hesitant to use the gun. He's an officer. Now, again, in his head, in his mind concept, you know, we got to realize this, and this is what I want to go with everyone. I have to be honest with everyone. If that was you, you got a family, you got your father, mother, or you, someone protecting your family, and you're the breadwinner, you couldn't afford for her to run you over, because now your life and your family and the people you have in your family is about to life about to change. So, again, you know, it's kind of me and Tatum talked about this. It's a very hard situation. And, again, does the young lady deserve to lose her life? No. But these are kind of consequences and decisions that run through people's minds. And it's easy to say something when you're on the outside looking in and saying, hey, man, he didn't need to kill her. He didn't have to pull the gun out. He could have did anything else, but in that moment of seconds, I don't know. You don't know what your line concept is. There's people who have gotten ran over because they tried to protect the life of the person and end up losing their life, and now they're not here no more. There's another great story that came out here about a couple months ago where two officers went to go arrest this one guy, and they went in not holding their guns. They went in. Got the two guys, and another third guy came out of nowhere and shot and killed both of those guys, killed both of the cops. So it's kind of like, you know, it's a calming situation, and I tell people it's a situation that has to be played out by mindset. I don't know if you have any way aware of any how that could have not happened. The only way I think that could have happened, if that loss prevention had stopped her from getting out of the store, maybe she still would have had her life. I think once she made it that far out of the store,
ATL, that's the whole thing, brother. Listen. They got cameras. They got cameras. Mm-hmm. They got everything they need to where that didn't have to happen.
Right.
It's there.
I agree, and I think that's the bad story of this scenario. This was a Kroger store. That's the bad scenario of that. So she just didn't lose her life. She lost her life and another child. A child lost his life too, because now he's not born.
Yeah.
He's dead with his mother. So you lost two lives. So you killed two people. And now this officer, everybody might think that it's all. Now he's got to live with this for the rest of his life, knowing that he killed somebody trying to protect his life and trying to figure out what could I have done to not make that happen and killed this person. You know, I'm gonna be honest. I watched these officers again. On the side when they was trying to do everything again to save this person's life. It wasn't like they were walking around chilling and saying, oh, yeah, I'm good. No, they were trying their best, and that person is gone now. I mean, it affects not just the child. She was a mother of two other children, too. Now they don't have her mother no more. And it's a bad scenario that I think a lot of times that we have to look as humans and have to think about. And I just think that's the best logic that I can – really come to mindset with this is that it's very emotional. We still have these stories going on, and it's not changed. I also have a nephew, but my cousin has a nephew that's play nephew. He's from Charleston, South Carolina. The family's from Charleston. His nephew was 27. You know, he went over the bridge and jumped off the bridge and killed himself this week. So I had to deal with this. So these things, I think a lot of times, and people take these things for granted and think that the decision sometimes is very easy to manifest to stop. Most of the time it's not. Like I said again, I'm going to agree with you on this, Six. If there was a lot more prevention that was at that Kroger's at the time when she ran out that door, if she never made it out the door, she would be still alive and the baby would be still alive. And we could have, there could have been more different results. The situation probably wouldn't have got bad. She probably would have got arrested and she'd be back home soon. So it's just, this is where it just takes off. And now she lost her life and the other life. And that doesn't do anybody any good in the society. Because now she leaves behind two children and her family and a lot of other people in desperate pain and friends in desperate pain. And again, you know, that's the logic that we're looking at. A lot of people say, hey, you know, she should have never went in there, but we don't know logically what was going on through her. We don't know if she was mentally ill. We don't know what was going on with her to end up doing something like that, to take some alcohol out, because it was actually that alcohol she was trying to go out in the store with. So was it that serious? No, it wasn't that serious to be taken. Was it that serious for her to lose her life? No, it was not. I don't care what no one says. No, I know stealing is bad, but sometimes life is not. Those things are not that serious to say that someone needs to lose their life. And I definitely want to pass this thought to Mikhail, because I know Mikhail definitely will have more of a suggestion on a view of this.
Well, before I speak, I think there was maybe two other people who were trying to get in. So if you're complete, I think I heard.
Yes, I am complete.
Okay. I think I heard Pride and Joy and Missionary Ken. So one of you two can speak first.
I just had a real quick suggestion or thought is if he was in front of the car, he could have jumped to the side, and then if he wanted to shoot, he could have shot the radiator and then shot a tire and not shot the woman. I mean, that would have effectively stopped the car. Just my thought.
Very interesting. And I think that's a great suggestion. The only scenario, this gentleman, I don't think his mindset was – he came in front, and I think his mindset was not set – to the point he was yelling at her in the car, stop, stop. And I think his mindset, you're right, this could have been a great scenario that could have been done, sudden her losing her life. That's why I said it's something there. But again, you got to know if the officers, some officers or anybody has that kind of mindset to know to move over to the side to shoot. Most people only react to what they're reacting to at the moment. They don't really, really think. It's a quick second, so they're like, okay, wow, boom, and it happens. So it's not like I tell people you can't prepare for things when you don't really know what you're going to prepare for. He didn't know. I don't believe the officers knew she was going to jump in the car and really actually pull forward. I think he thought that she was going to stay still and get out of the car. When he ran up to the car, he hit her in the window and another officer, and he went around the front to try to tell her to stop, freeze with the gun. I don't think in his logical mind thought that she was going to pull the car. Once you pull the car, that's when you pull the trigger, because he got scared then. Does that kind of make logical sense? Because that's what me and Nikki, we kind of looked at it that way, because once the way he responded when the car rolled out, he knew they did something wrong. He was like, oh my God. He was trying his best to save her life on the side, because we can tell that whatever he thought was logically, he took the wrong approach on it. And one thing else we have to put in specific of these officers, we don't know where he came from, where they came. It could have came from another mass shooting where someone could have been shooting. There's things that these officers go through before they come to these one calls. Sometimes people got to remember they're on road all the time. So there's other issues that could have been going on. He could have had somebody could have shot at him, or somebody else could have tried to run him over, and now he's responding back on this on his next call. Because most of the times these officers go to one call, they go to most of the calls. They don't stop. And that's one thing I do want to say that we talk about when these officers are out here. We keep forgetting that they're policing for a long amount of time before they really come off these jobs. So when you're policing, you go into so many different scenarios and so many different situations. Your mind is not going to always be set to deal with things. And sometimes you just went to a setting where someone might have just killed and murdered himself. Now you're going to this, and now you got another call in the next 15 minutes you're going to. You don't know what to suspect. And I really like to say that more to you, okay, to think about it on that level, because I think that's what we have to understand too. So there's not always going to be critical thinking and critical logic to some of these folks, because we don't know what they were doing before they came to the location. Remember, officers are human. So, again, they will make mistakes. They will do stupid stuff. They will do stuff that doesn't make sense. And I think a lot of times that's because what kind of environment they work in, what kind of environment they're coming out of. So, like I said, he could have been on five different calls where he could have been somewhere where someone was trying to kill himself or someone trying to shoot at him. So he could have went to this location and said, okay, I got the gun, gone to the side, gone to the front, think I'm going to scare this person and make this person stop. And end up, it did not work out that scenario. Does that make sense?
Check this out. Here's what I think.
Would you mind, Joy?
Huh? You can go ahead.
Okay.
Is he short?
So it's like okay, truck drivers, I believe they're allowed to be on the road for 2 hours. Hey, buddy. Hey. So depending on the severity of the call that they just came from, depending on the call, the severity, if it was a tragic situation, they should report that, and then I think they should have like a layover to where, you know, they get a break. Because, like he said, they could have came from a tragic situation. And then, hold on, but hey, now listen, you can't.
May I jump in?
Can I finish what I was saying? So,
go ahead. You jump me, but go ahead.
and that way, they can kind of get a break. Because you never know what situation they came from, like ATL said. I'm complete.
Thank you. Okay. Let me explain, since I know you're not paying attention to your law and order that you claim you watch. Police officers, once they have to deal with a situation, they do have to file a report. If there was a shooting involved, there's usually an investigation, so they have to go on desk leave or they're taken off the street for a minute until, I guess, an investigation is done. So it's not like they're dealing with a situation, certain situations, but if it's a shooting involved, they can't go back on the streets, from my understanding. And my father was a cop, so, you know, and even when you watch those scenarios, especially if somebody's killed, then they have to do desk duty or something like that. If there's got to be an investigation, and sometimes they have to go through counseling or some type of psychiatric evaluation before they can get back on the streets, especially if it's traumatic. Because it affects the cops too, so it's not like they're dealing with a situation and they shoot somebody and then they go to a different thing. They got to come off because they got to be evaluated. You don't know how it affected them, and they have to investigate. Just so you know, I am complete.
I had rolled with some officers down here in Gwinnett County with the sheriff department. And I'm going to say this, riding with them today, there's been some incidents that I watched that happened. And that can go for truck drivers, too. I can fit something to a truck driver. Truck driver driving 70 miles an hour, and he caused an accident. Next time he gets behind his wheel, he's going to be more careful because now he's hard. He's more thoughtful about the process of what bad just happened. But the thing is, I roll with the officers here in Lawrenceville. I mean, not Lawrenceville, up here in Gwinnett County. And there was an incident that we had that I roll with one officer with where he went to four different incidents. And one of them was a little guy who just had it was just regular pullover. He yelled and screamed. And again, he claimed that he was being harassed because he was black. There was somebody who was just acting up silly. Just another department went to a house. Person was just acting up because it was on some kind of abuse. No guns was pulled. But the last one was a gun was pulled. But I'm just saying from those situations still, too, can make a person uncomfortable. I mean, you just don't know where their mindset is. I hear what you're saying, but there's not enough officers. And most of the time, yes, you're right. They do, like on this one here, the shooting of the young lady, yeah, he's on police duty right now. No, he's not back on the street. But I'm saying the ones prior to that, You could have been not as bad. It could have been someone shot at them, and again, it wasn't that they got that, and that wasn't to them. To the system itself, didn't think it was too much, but to that officer, it could be a lot mentally to him, because now he has never been shot at, or he has never been in a situation where he felt his life was going to be threatened. And that's, I think that's what I'm coming from. So a lot of times, what I'm saying is that, it, again, any call when you officers have to do traffic stop or anything, it's always going to be concussed. Like I said, he could have traffic stopped. The person he thought was not doing much, and he just said, hey, I'm going to give you a ticket. And that guy might have just AWOL and went crazy, and they had to put him in the back seat and take him going down to the thing. Now, is there a report for that? Yes, he has to do a report on that too. But then, again, I don't think they're going to call him and say, hey, go do a destiny. But you don't know how far an officer's mind is set. So I always think that the being an officer, and then again, let's even talk about a couple of days. Like you said, yeah, you're shooting now. Right now, this is a big investigation because they're like, okay, whether this guy, was he in the wrong of shooting this officer, of shooting this young lady? Now, let's say he gets out, and let's say this goes or whatever, and he gets back on the road. He's going to be in another different mind state. Now, when he gets out there, he probably won't try to pull the gun, and he might have getting himself killed because someone was probably saying, hey, if he had pulled his gun out, he probably would. See, these are kind of things. You get where I'm going, Ms. McHale? Do y'all get where I'm going? So these are kind of things because it's decision-making. It's so much decision-making, and I just think that when a mindset is, and I always tell people the officers are one of the most hardest jobs to do because nobody likes to be told. We got people that come up in the society that their mothers and fathers don't tell them nothing to do. And they tell you that their mothers and fathers system, that they get mad and angry and fight them. So now you got a man that they don't know, some person telling them what they can't do and what. They're not interested in hearing that. They don't think. They think their life is free will. So you got to put all that into concept with people. You got to put that all in concept with people. And a lot of times people are on drugs, too. We got to also consent that there's a lot of people with mental illness and drugs and it's going on in their system. So you have to put all that in play. So I always tell people the officers are always going to look at the bad because they are part of the system of keeping people right. But, again, we ain't going to lie. We need officers because we don't have officers. Most of our stuff will get robbed. We mostly get killed. We mostly do things. So officers are there to serve us to do what? What happens is a lot of times I believe what happens in the concept is that we make the officers boogeyman because we feel like that should not happen. They should have a program. They should be more trained. They should not be able to take an instant life. They shouldn't have a weapon like that. But I'm sorry to say, I have to be honest with you, the bad guys got weapons too, and they don't care whether you good or not, whether you got a family too. The bad guys don't care whether the innocent person they kill don't have a family or two. So we have to understand that logic and come to a depend on that. Now, like I said, not all cops are good, and not all cops are bad. I think there's a lot of cops out there that do work the force. They really believe in serving life. They want to go home to their family. They want them people to go home to their families too. And there's some out there who just don't know what they are and why they even a cop, and they make bad decisions, and those decisions fail. So sometimes I wish the system itself would be more careful on how they hire their practice. But, again, let's talk about this. It's not the best paid job. And not everybody wants to put their life on, and not everybody wants to be a cop because they know it's a dangerous job to be. So a lot of times they have to sometimes deal with what's in the numbers. Just like I have to talk about this. I can talk here all day about my job I got right now. I got people coming in that smoke marijuana, and I'm going to call them in. They smoke heavy marijuana and everything. I want my job to get rid of these people. But they're not going to because they got to have people to get their production, to get their stuff out, so they're going to bear with it. And it's bad that we have we both have a drug policy, but they're not enforcing it because they're trying to keep people in place so they keep their production. So this is our society. That's what we have to realize in our society, what we're dealing with. So we're dealing with this, and we have to figure out how to. And I do think, again, I do believe that there's more police need to be more trained. But to say that they're going to stop logically killing innocent people or stop logic things happen, no, I don't think so. So I think that what you said so well, Mr. Six Eyes, is that we need the stores and places to step up more.
and to come out and say, hey, wait a minute, before this person go, let's get him hearing. Let's not let him leave out this store. Let's not let this project happen so there's don't have bad consequences outside. Since you say these are your customers coming in, protect your customers inside your base. People need to learn how to care about others more than stop trying to be, oh, yeah, yeah, guess what? He's stealing something. And ready to throw him out to the wolves, and this is what happens. You see what I'm saying? And then now you feel bad and say, oh, my God, maybe if we had kept him in or we had done this, this was out with it. Right, and then this is true. And I know for real, Kroger's probably lost potential and said, hey, we could have did something different here because we had also an innocent child that lost his life that didn't need to die at that time. Am I right about that? I want to pass that to anybody who's ready to speak on it.
Well, they got a bigger problem on their hand right now. If they could have got away with the chicken wings and bag of fries, they would have been okay. If she could have got liquor, she'd have been okay. Now she's killed. So that family is going to sue that company because they're still on the grounds of Kroger, still on the grounds of Kroger parking lot. They're still on the property. So they might have a Kroger's named after them, or they might have enough money to buy a Kroger's because a young lady lost her life plus her newborn child. So, you know, like the professor said, really? Was it worth it? No. But,
well, me personally, I just think that, you know, when they're in an open space, I really think that, you know, they shouldn't be pulling their guns while it's an open space because you got, when you're at a grocery store, you got people going in and out. You got people going in the grocery store. You got the boy with the buckets going inside the, you know, store, people trying to put their groceries in. You got so much going on, you know, at a grocery store. So I just really think that maybe they should put some of those things inside of the grocery store that, you know, make a sound if you got something in your, you know, in your pocket or anything like that. I think they should put them in a grocery store, too. And that way, you know, they'll know whether the person is, you know, carrying a gun or whatever. They got something in there that's making that little noise. That's what I think they should do.
Yeah. And some stores do have, like, a little detector that can tell, but all you got to do is put a piece of tape on it and that block it, you know? So it's just they have not came up with a sure proof way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's the sad part. I mean, it's unfortunate that that lady lost her life. You know, the newborn
right.
Didn't even get to come into the world.
Mm-hmm.
Part over something that they got it on. So that liquor, I don't care if it was top of the line, but whatever was in that store wasn't worth life. If it was, I don't give a damn how much it cost. Six guys, ATL, and the crew. Phone line. 3917 on this September 10th. Got to be September.
Nice. Nice.
No.
So,
and it, like I say again, like you said, Six Man, it's just misfortunate that we are in a society now, 2024, just coming out of 2023. We're going to 2024. That we still haven't. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's 2023. Don't rush it.
Yeah.
You said 2024.
Let's not rush it. You're right. No.
Coming.
I just was trying to say is that I believe that, you know, we should be a farther more away from these kind of scenarios. But it seems like we're still going backwards on these scenarios. And, again, it's just that it's just misfortunate that this situation is going on. We have more coming up. We haven't really moved forward from logically from putting people in better positions, and also the officers, we're not putting them in a better position either. So it seems like we're just putting things out here and we just manifesting after. So now somebody is affected in some kind of way now to say that I'm scared of officers again. It's always this fear in urban communities or all communities that the officers are something that sometimes they're not safe to be around. And when you don't trust your officers, that means you don't trust yourself. You don't trust anything else around you. So you're comfortable being safe is this. But I will say this. There was a lady, African-American lady in the mail that went across this world who lived in different states, I mean different countries, in China and all of them. And the one thing, that just getting to the safe thing, she said that anywhere for urban black people and urban white people, the safest place to be is actually America. This is on study on results because of the things with different governments and different things that happen in these different countries. There's different protections, and there's certain protections you have. You have different rights here where you don't have to be so – you feel more safer. And not saying it's the safest, but it's more safer than prior to other countries, including the UK and all. So I think that we're a long way from – in America – I believe still today we still have a long way to go to reach the what we call a comfortability, and I don't think it's ever going to get that comfortability that it was in the 60s and 70s or the 50s. And the 50s really was bad for black folk because we were more or less three-fifths of a man. So you're going back to 70s and 80s before the crack epidemic. Yes, I believe that you probably have more of a safe cushion. But now going into the from the 90s to the 1000s to where we are now, there's a lot of controversies in every community that sometimes plagues the communities of all communities that make you feel that if you don't have a certain kind of income, you don't feel that you're doing certain things, or you don't have a certain attention, that you feel that the attention that you're trying to get, sometimes the attention that gets you killed and murdered. So I'm going to pass it back to you, Six Eyes, man.
Here's the thing with that, ATL. Here's the thing. They have enough money. They have enough money. If they would stop taking it all overseas, they have enough money for these programs to get training for these cops, you know, so they can have more training. But when they're sending all the money over to these third world countries, not third world countries, but like Ukraine and Russia, it's only so much, you know, that we're going to have room for, you know, to help us. America is so quick to go abroad to help other people, but they're not helping their own. They're not taking care of their own, you know. They would have money to facilitate these programs, you know, but you're sending trillions of dollars over to Ukraine. You're sending trillions of dollars over to Maui. I mean, what do you expect? So that's the thing right there. Something, what are you doing? That's the thing right there. I mean, what are you going to do? If you're sending everything away, what are we going to do? That's like us throwing a barbecue. Either one of us throw a barbecue, but we don't put up no place for ourselves. Everybody eats, but we don't eat. And this is what America has been doing since the beginning of the time. War. War. That's over resources. We go over to help another country, and you guys, we're responsible for rebuild. Why? Because America always wants to play big brother. And it's been since the beginning of the time. This is why we'll never get out of debt, because we keep doing it. Trillions of dollars to Ukraine. Trillions of dollars to go help Maui. And Maui, president, how come Maui ain't got no money to help rebuild Maui? They got a president over there.
Oh, no. We're going to get that American guy. What's his name? Biden. Yeah, Biden. He'll give us money. Hell, look what he did for Ukraine.
Right.
We're in.
You know, there it is. So now we got to fight with, you know, what's going to happen in 2024. We got this situation where Donald's running again for reelection. Nancy Pelosi just put her bid. She's running again. She's about to be 84 years old, but she's running again. At some point, sit down, sit in a rocking chair, and just drink some juice and relax. You know, how much money do you need to make? You know, it's just some of the things that's on my mind. But, you know, that's why, you know, like I said, even with this situation right here, you know, with the young, you know, if there were programs set aside, you know, for training, this might not happen. So with that, I'm complete. I'm going to pass it to Pride and Joy. We get on with it. We see her. So. No. No, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I do agree with you. I think there should be some training for police officers, but I just still think that there's the logical thing that we have to be trained to is also the people too. So, I mean, it's just, it's a complicated situation here. I know I got another one I'm going to bring up, but I can't wait to go to the Entertainment Report. I know they don't have this one, but I just got to watching 2 days ago, and this is very sad. And this is actually in Ukraine, and this is actually in other countries. They took this COVID-19 test on the water across the world, including the United States, tap water and water in a bottle. And so some reason, and I'm just saying this, and I have to say this, is for some reason, all these waters are tested positive for COVID-19. So I'm like, here we go again. I just think, I'm just laughing at this stuff, and I'm like, okay, now we got people running around after seeing the hearing about this. We got people running around saying the water supply is contaminated, and then they're also saying they got to get a mask. Well, I see people now walking around again with masks, which I have to put into a plate that they just now, this is something that's a fact study that came out with these scientists. Again, there's a little metal plate in these masks from the U95. They claimed that after now COVID, there was a lot of people getting sick, and they claimed that they got sick because of that wearing the mask because it has the metal and it causes them to have cancer. So I'm like, you know, it's just that they have stuff on top of stuff. And I just wish that our society could stop this madness and try to really figure out what they're trying to do and what they're trying to accomplish to make life more expendable or do make life more easier and better for everyone. Than versus than trying to do these games and play hide and seek and trying to, okay, yeah, by the way, they'll say, oh, yeah, by the way, this is what's going on now. Oh, yeah, by the way, this is what's now. And I think that that's not right. I think they should be fair on the start to tell people the truth and be straight with folks and say, hey, you know, yeah, you're going to get masks, you're going to have this. Just don't wait and just decide to give this information now. You know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, like I said, with these water bottles, and they said, well, tap water and water comes from the sink and the tap water in the bottles and all the water. Oh, it for some reason, the COVID-19 test is positive for it. So does that mean that it doesn't have COVID in it? They're not for sure. They're saying no. But I'm like, okay, no, then why is it that the device is saying that it tests positive for COVID-19. So that's an answer I'm going to put out to the panel right now. Do y'all think that this is a little bit absurd now? And then at the same time, they're trying to say, no, they don't, but it just somehow it happens. I don't know. It just, the thing just actually allow it to say that it has COVID-19 in the water.
I'm going to say this, just like a pregnancy test. Pregnancy test, half time is right, half time is not. So when they put these COVID, if you don't have nobody to teach you, which means probably, and I know that word oh too well, that's how my eyes got crazy, with the material they use for my eyes. So if they don't have nobody to quality control what the product is, and in this case COVID test strips, if they don't have
the proper people that care and doing their job, you're going to always have these problems. It's the bottom line, you know, with the water, tap water, bottled water. To me, I truly think they're just slapping a label on it, putting a couple of ingredients in there to kind of clean it and filter it. But I still think we're drinking all this water. I really do. I don't. There's no such thing to me as no bottled water. I think they found a way. Hey, we got to make more money. Hey, let's start selling bottled water. Hell, when our grandparents grew up, they didn't have no bottled water. They lived until their hundreds. So here we're buying bottled water, and we can't even make 70. So I don't know, man. It's just this world is just crazy. So with that, I'm complete. I don't really know how to answer that. Because you buy all these different waters. Hey, Trumpet, I'm right here, but you buy all these different waters, and like I say, Dasani, Fuji, Fiji, whatever, you don't know what kind of water you drink. I think it's just a different label, and they might put something in there, you know, to offset taste of tap water, but it's not much that they're doing. That's just my opinion. What do you all think? Anybody?
Anybody? Well, like I say, I agree with you. Again, six odds.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
You go ahead. I'm good.
Oh, yeah. I was just gonna say. I think that the water and stuff that they use, I think it's just the same. They just giving us the same stuff. It just got the same stuff in. They just sending out the same, you know, same stuff. That's what I think. I don't think that they doing nothing to the water, adding nothing to the water, or trying to do nothing to the water. I think they're just sending out the same stuff that they've been sending out from the beginning. It's just the same stuff. I don't think they're doing nothing to it. But trying to get rid of it, trying to get rid of everything. That's what it seemed like to me.
So you think, like I think, a different water bottle, maybe different shape, but it's just a different label. But
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's nice.
I agree with you. Well, I think we move on to the entertainment with pride and joy. So, I'm going to introduce you, unless you have something else to say.
You can go ahead.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, here's our entertainment news with Pride and Joy here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Kicking it with Six Eyes, ATL, and the crew. Phone lines are open, 424-243-9617. Now here's our entertainment news with Pride and Joy.
All right. So I want to ask you guys a question.
Hey,
Kamala
well,
Harris
before y'all
wants
go to Pride,
do...
Hold
go
on.
Ahead.
Before you go in, we got some callers that call in, 295. 2925 and 2780. They might want to speak before we go to our next topic. I just want to go ahead and give them an opportunity.
Well, let's bring them in before we get started with the entertainment news.
Yeah,
what's up, man? It's John. I'm just listening. Y'all doing all right today?
Doing all right. Doing all right. So
pretty good.
But me and the cat, we split our coke. Remember I told you I adopted Trumpet. And he came around today. So he's here. He's on the say hello. Trumpet.
He's here.
He's here. Said hello to you. So yes, he came around today. And it's a good show. He can hear you. He said hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So we've been having a good
Hi,
show.
You were so
that,
cute.
And welcome the other caller. I don't know who else that is, but welcome.
Good afternoon. This is the guy from Clayton. Good evening. How are y'all doing?
Okay.
We're doing just, I'm doing fine. Okay,
well, go ahead with the entertainment is Pride and Joy.
Good afternoon. How's everyone doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Amen. To God be the glory. Thank you. Good to hear each and every one of you.
That's a thumbs up here. Nice to hear you too, it was Clayton. But first, I want to go over to where I was saying Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris wants saying that she want to do General Colin Powell. She thinks she said she want to go for his job. Do y'all think that she would be good at his job, the job that he was doing?
Being a general, hell no.
That's what she said. She said on TV that she said she want to go. Yeah, she was asked what job she want to go to next.
Be a pilot, but I know I can't be a pilot. Now, some things I know I can't do. Now, the position, president. I truly want to see what a woman is going to do running the country. I do, and we can't country. She was nervous, but if anything was to unfortunately happen to Joe Biden, I would like to see her run and see how she do, because she's going to run from a different perspective. See, she's going to run it with run it from the perspective of love, because women are loving and nurturing, you know. So I want to see how she's going to run the country. I think it'll be interesting.
Anybody else?
Stay bite talk on this one.
Oh, still. Go ahead, Six.
Trying to be a general, there's never a female general. It would be a first, but I think she would serve after the vice president. That's just my opinion.
Okay. Do anybody else have anything that they would want to say on it?
I do. This DJ ATL Aaron Styles. I want to say something about this, and I think this is very interesting. And I want to say this, and I think the media has been talking about this for a minute, and I noticed that they have heard people have done interviews with this individual. I believe Obama is really running the United States of America right now. I believe his influence is very implied to the country right now. I think he is actually running a third term. I do believe right now Joe Biden is the oldest president in history right now. He's 80 years old. If he does re-elect, he'll be 82. So I'm thinking that the influence of Obama is definitely involved in the involved in the administration. So I think that for what we're looking at, and I'm saying as far as Kamala Harris is concerned, I think there is a conflict in interest between that, because, again, I believe that's why she is more capable of being the president of the United States of America, even though the health of decline of Joe Biden, because we are sitting here and we're not going to deny that we've seen him deteriorate in front of us. And then you're still saying they want him to run for president for 82. So there has to be a logic there. Now, if you talk to sources and out there, they say Obama is very influentially involved in the politics of what decision-making is helping Joe Biden move. So I think that with Kamala not really being able to, that's why we have not seen her come forward and not been put in any position, because Obama's running it right now. So I don't expect her, when they do run again, I still don't expect her to ever be in that place to make those kind of decisions once she comes out and try to run again to become president. I think that's the only route we'll see her as the first female president. I believe there's a lot more females that's out here that's out in the market now that's going to probably end up becoming the president of the United States and is going to have more influence and going to be more popular. Like I said, but I'm not going to knock and say Kamala Harris does not have don't know how to run the country. Yes, she does. Matter of fact, she's really overqualified. She knows more of the politicians and stuff. She's very educated on those things. But, again, I just don't think that they're going to allow her that logic to do that at this time. I just think that really it's Obama right now running the country from to keeping it to where it is today. And I don't know if any of you guys agree with me on this logic. If you really look around and you think about some of the things that's been still going on, even though they've got a lot of things going around with Obama, saying Obama has a secret lover and he's in love with man and all this, that's irrelevant to what really where our country is going right now and our direction where our country is going in.
here's the deal. First off, me and Michelle are very much in love. Okay. So there you go there. As far as running the country, as far as running the country, I am just sitting back watching with my popcorn. With that, I'm...
Thank you.
Popcorn, please. We definitely have, we all got popcorn, and we definitely seeing the show going on with Joe. We definitely seeing that show, and I really believe that the most knowledgeable person right now, when you look at the whole Congress, you look at all the adults and people that come in, hey, guys, can y'all do me one favor? I'm going to be right back. I'm going to pass the right to you guys.
All right.
So it's
all right,
a lot.
Go ahead.
You can go ahead. You was going to say something?
It is a lot of pressure to be a general. A lot of pressure. That's harder than being the president of the United States. A lot harder. Because you have to be everywhere. Everywhere. Being a general, work. A lot of work. So I want her to stay comfortable. Vice President Joe Biden, she'll become the president. But he was 5 hours as president. That's the expect. You know, you get thrust into that position. What's going on? I'm right here. Say hello there. Say hello.
All right, y'all, we're going to go ahead and move to the next story. This story is about Superfly, the actor. He gets 50 years to life in prison for multiple rape charges. Kalane Walker was also a registered sex offender since 2013. He's a rapper from Los Angeles who appeared in the 2018 film that was sentenced 50 years in life in prison. His sentence would be 50 years in prison. On Monday, after being found guilty of sexual assault, several people, three of whom were minors, according to the City News Service. Kalane Walker, 27, was also instructed to register as a life sex offender for the strings of crimes that began since 2013. On April 18, a jury found the performer guilty of three counts of forced rape, counts of improper sexual contact with a juvenile, two counts of raping a victim who was intoxicated, and one count of assault with intent to perform oral sex on someone. Yeah, yeah. According to this, Deputy District Attorney Cynthia Wallace said that he is a predator. He has assaulted on young girls, teenagers, and boys from 2013 to 2018. Walker utilized Twitter and Instagram to contact his victims, who were frequently aspiring actors and models that he enticed them to places. And, again, like the other one did, booked them and showed them different kind of things to make them think he was going to get them a job somewhere. They ain't going nowhere. So you just contact them. Models and enticed victims. He would show them music videos to make them think he was going to put them in videos. And, yeah, he sexually assaulted the ladies and the men, both of them. So, what y'all think of this story? Using different props, using different things to entice them to have sex with him.
Yeah. First of all, no woman should be taken advantage of at all. You know, raped or nothing like that. That's not cool. That's a bad thing. So yeah, that's not cool.
You got to rape somebody, you don't need them.
Right.
You know? So that's just crazy right there. But it's not,
Are you focused?
Right. What is he saying?
Okay. I don't know where he went.
Okay.
I'm not sure if he's complete or not, but I think that's a sick-minded individual to have to feel like they have to rape somebody, male or female, or entice them. And a lot of people play those mind games with people and take advantage of innocent people. I just think it's a sickness with that. And I think he should have been prosecuted. There's, I don't care how much time a person gets for violating multiple people. That kind of stuff sticks with a person for life. You know, you will never get that memory out of your head, but hopefully you're a person who can overcome anything that's tragic like that, that may have happened to you. You'll never forget it, but hopefully you can have a somewhat decent life. Just because you were raped or molested doesn't mean that all people are bad. You just have to be more conscious of people that you're around, or locations where you are. But now that's just sick. It really is. And I am complete.
All right. Anyone else?
Hold on. You can get the hell off the show.
Yeah, I don't really want to speak on this. Oh, wait a minute. Who decided they wanted to go all the way out? They wanted to go to sleep.
But whoever.
Okay.
This is not. We're having a show.
Okay. Are we there? Okay, everybody fine?
Everybody's fine.
All right. So I put 29295. They went on out. 2925. That must have been them because I think they went out. Okay. All right. I want to speak on this, and I'm going to speak in this deliberately. And I think that we live in a society that's really, really have a problem. The problem with our society is that we believe that we should get this and we should get that, and we own things, and we're so special that we can force people when people don't want to do your thing. If the woman says no, and she doesn't want your number, because we can go into another one. We got another one. Can go into another story where a guy was trying to holler at a woman, and she told him no, she won't go give him no, and he threw a brick at her. I mean, it's this stuff is just, I don't know if someone says, hey, and you ask them, hey, I'd like to go on a date, can I get your number? And they tell me no. If someone says, hey, I want you to have sex with me, and she says no, the answer is no. You move on. There's plenty other people to try to talk to. There's plenty other things to do involved in. There's plenty other things to do if you're not going to go, you know, I don't want us to go there. This is a family show.
But, yeah, there's plenty other things to do than put your – and then you also been in a movie. You also had a career. You also had family and you were making an income and you were doing something. And you throw it all away for something now? Do you go to jail for 50 years and not have your life to lose your freedom? Oh, Lord have mercy. I don't know what to say no more. I said to lose their freedom. Oh, trust me. You grinding now, bro. You are grinding now. All the things that you thought you had, oh, you about to find out you don't have now. See, all that forced rape, oh, it come home now. Because you sitting behind in a prison where they're going to tell you when to go to bathroom, what time to eat, what time to go to sleep, because you don't have no control over that no more. It's over, bro. It wasn't worth it. See, this is the logic that I think that people need to understand. You a gift, you might think you a gift to the world. You're not a gift to the world when you do wrong. And there is consequences when you do wrong. Unfortunately, your consequence came very swift, 50 years. Man, wow. You're going to lose 50 years of your life. You're going to lose. Now, if you got mother, family members, you're not going to be able to see them for 50 years. Some of them are going to be in the grave by when you come out. You lost all your life. And if how do you even make it out at that age? You know, he's already old now. Even if he's going, he might even die behind prison. Because I'm going to call it for real. Was it even worth it? See, and now you're probably sitting there like, man, why not just go find something else to do with yourself? Yeah, you should have. You made a bad decision, and you're going to live with it now.
Raping somebody,
I'll pass the ball
to
you, Mr. Six Eyes.
Yeah, raping somebody is never worth it. What thing? And what? Where did Pride and Joy go?
I don't know. I don't know if it's my phone or Six. Something's chopping in and out with him when he talked. Oh, I don't know.
Okay. Y'all hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. So what show was the guy on Pride and Joy?
Superfly. Movie, actor.
I thought he was dead. Superwomen. Superfly.
He's an actor. He was in a movie that just recently came out. The movie is called Superfly.
The remake mm-hmm. of Superfly. You know, they remade Superfly about.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, that's a lot. 50 years, that's a lot of years. So he might be like, I don't know, close to 80 when he get out, if he's in his 30s. I don't know how old he is, but that's a lot of years.
He's
27. Oh, my God. He gonna be 77 when he get out then. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It ain't much to do when you get out at 77. I don't think they're gonna be casting for people. You might be able to sit in the crowd and, you know, be in the crowd, but other than that, you ain't gonna get the roles in the movies. Maybe be able to do a denture commercial. But other than that, it ain't gonna be much. You know, not many.
If you get lucky for that.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, I don't know, man. But
yeah,
like I say, rape is definitely wrong. You know, not cool.
One of the things I'd like to add on, if I may, is, man, we got to always take into acute consideration that a lot of these people are suffering from mental health issues and, you know, the underlying cause for their sick behavior. So, you know, a lot of people don't take that into account. But a lot of these people mentally, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
I will say this, Six Eyes, and I'm glad he brought that up. So there probably was evaluation on him once they got him to take him to court. And if there was something that was there, they probably would have added it. They would have put him somewhere else. So they realized that he was not. So this is something they do do. They do analyze these folks when they get ready to lock them up. They ask some questions. They take them to a test to find out what their mind state is, what they're at. Because you can't put them in the prison system if they're going to crack up and kill themselves. You know what I'm saying? They don't worry. They really don't. So they know how stable their mindset they are. And, again, a lot of times if it's the choices they make, that's what they look at. So I believe at this moment, mentally, yeah, he might have had a breakdown there. But his breakdown was that he thought he was a special case, and probably thought that, you know, a lot of times people got to realize a lot of these celebrities, a lot of people feel like they on a different level, and you can't tell them no, and they feel that you though, oh man, you ain't gonna tell me no, don't you know who the hell I am, you know, I'm not gonna take no because I'm this, and not realizing that just because you this level don't mean you have that kind of power. And this goes for anyone. I don't care if you're the best basketball player, best singer, or whatever you think. You still are a human being, and that doesn't mean because someone says no that they're supposed to say yes. And that don't mean you show off yourself because they say no. And I believe that's what the tragic was there, because it gives a great example with the guy, and I'm going right back to another story with the guy. The girl told him no.
Well, before
he's always been – yeah, go ahead.
Entertainment news, but before you do that, Brian,
yeah.
Joy, did they ever find out? Cause see, did they ever find out what happened to Sandra Bland? Did they ever find out? Was she murdered? Cause I never think else about it.
As far as I know, me and Tatum had talked about this. Brian said that basically what happened was that young lady. And I know I have my cousin knew her personally too, and they said her character does not fit that. But again, the thing is that what was told, see, the officer she got in with, that was it. She got put into another system where she went somewhere else. So once she got booked there, she didn't see that officer anymore. Whatever happened between her and the time frame from her of committing, because actually they said they found her hanging. She found something to hang and kill herself. It's kind of weird to a lot of people, and people always felt, but they were, as far as the investigation, she did a self-suicide. And a lot of people who know her personally said that they did. Oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
He wasn't that tall. Now, what could she have found? I don't know how jail cell looked, but how they show it on TV. All you see is a table, the bed, and the commode.
Right. She took the sheet. She took the sheet. That's what they were saying. She took the sheet, wrapped it around her neck, and pulled it. And they weren't really monitoring her. For what I was told, this is for what – now, I'm going to tell you what Tatum told me. And what Tatum said, his report, because he did do some investigation on what they said, they didn't – she wasn't hysterical, going crazy, or anything. It's just weird to them that she did this, because they said they didn't do anything to her, and there's no video showing them going. They find her like that, so that's the weirdest thing. They find her with it that she pulled. She was just calmly. The video runs, and she just throws it up there, and she just takes her life. I don't know what was, and this is a question that I asked Tatum, and we tried to go back. What was so detrimental with her having a breakdown with that officer? What did he say, or what did he really do to push her to that point where she went to there and didn't have no breakdown, and then all of a sudden breakdown? Did something kick in her mind to make her feel that she had to do that to herself? Because this question mark is still out there, and a lot of people don't know this, but this question mark's out there. Even with a lot of with those folks there, they said she, once they booked her, she wasn't having a breakdown.
Well,
she didn't have a breakdown.
Let me, if I can ask something, man, y'all remember during those investigations, it was more than her that was coming up dead in those jails as well. So she's not the only one. that was found dead.
Yeah, that's true.
Either.
That is true, and I don't know. And see, something technically, can we say this, and I'm going to say this, and get to be something going on with the system itself, what's being said, maybe something's triggering these people to do things like this. You even with, you know, some of the killers that had in the past, they did find a way to get themselves killed. And even though they both have been highly staffed and they were on suicide watch and they still made a way for themselves to get exited, could it be something more powerful, more detrimental to their mindset? And again, like I said, again, as far as from people I know that know her personally, because my cousin knew her, she was not suicidal. So that's where it comes to a different halt. So now she gets herself from arguing with someone, which she was going toe-to-toe with, and she was mad because she was taken. But thus she got put in the system, put in a jail cell, does that convincingly make a person say, oh, God damn, it's over. It's time for me to commit suicide. And go ahead.
I got to jump you. Here's the thing. Now, if you go, I'll be real quick, Pride Joy. So here's the thing. If you remember, she's going to start her life all over again, going to a new job, new situation. She traveled a long distance. Her air conditioner went out. She was frustrated. She's driving. She's frustrated. She's smoking a cigarette in her car. She does a legal traffic change, didn't signal. The cop pulls her over. That cop set that whole tone for how that situation was going to go. She set the whole tone.
That is true. That is true. We said that. Me and Tatum agreed on that.
Huh?
I said me and Tatum did. Tatum agreed on that too. She said that. But once he was gone, they calmed down. That's what we don't understand. That's the concept that we don't get. Once the cop is gone, he's no longer in the picture. He's gone. He's gone hours and hours and hours. He's no longer around. They have her booked. She's calm. She's not breaking down. She's normal.
May I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Amen. Praise God. I just want to say, go ahead.
I just want to say this real quick. She was going from one situation to start a new life with a new job. Now, what Charlie was thinking up already, it pissed her off because he set the tone how that was going to go. Now, she probably was thinking she couldn't get the $500 to get out of jail. Then she was probably thinking, okay, was she still going to have the job that she was going for? So that's the only thing I could think of. With that, I'm complete. Go ahead, Ms. Clayton.
I just want to say, we don't know. We wasn't there. You know, we're speculating. We're assuming. You know, we're assuming. You know, and it's so much happened. So much happened during the traffic stop. So much happened behind the jailhouse walls. You know, and it just behooves me. You know, as her being as short as she is, you know, how is she gonna get how many feet? 15, 20 feet, 25 feet. How is she, as an individual, as a person, is going to reach that particular height and then hang a sheet there to hang herself? And then we have some very nasty and crooked cops. We don't know what threatened, what had been said in this traffic stop whatsoever. We don't know what had been said, what she knew, and who else had their hands in the pot, amen, to stir her up and to make it seem as though, because this is the same thing happened with the McPherson, whatever the gentleman named, that the one that was with Trump, that they said he committed suicide. You know, it's crazy, you know, when people want to get rid of you, they will orchestrate things. They will orchestrate things. They'll set things up that make it seem as though it is you. It is you that did it. When there was dirty hands is always in the pot. We got some dirty scene that is behind the scene that man eyes can't see, but we know some undercover stuff is going on, you know, and it just behooves me, you know, to why someone would want to commit suicide with such low rate, $500, you know, why would someone want to commit suicide, you know, and so forth. There was no mental issue, and you're right. They do some type of testing when you're going to prison, but they also have mental prison as well too that they put the inmates in. So they have mental institutions, a mental prison for those, amen, that has psychological and mental problems. They do have those prisons exist right now today, that they have those Chattahoochee mental hospitals and mental institution for those that has a mental issue. So they do have those prison and institution to house those type of individual, but they also have different psychiatrists and different psychologists that are also working with those inmates. I know because I visited the prison system today, and we also go to mental prison for those that are mentally and psychologically unstable, you know, and so, you know, that just simplified to let us know, you know, cartoons can show us anything. Do we believe everything that we see? Do we look at the underlying condition of things, or do we just jump and believe, well, we've seen it on TV, and this is what so-and-so said. Do we just believe it? You know, first of all, we forget to put God in the midst of everything that we do. We just put him to the in a box, like you go sit over there in the box, God, until we get ready for you. Do we not put God first above anything and all things, you know, before we assume. It doesn't matter who's who, doesn't make it right, you know, and things of that happen every day. Every day you find those dead in prison that they done put in the freezer, they done locked up in the freezer, that they done made shedies and so forth to hear themselves. They done find all kind of items under their pillow in their beds and so forth, inside their mattress. You know, setups are done so miraculously behind the walls, and we overlook those things because we say, well, you know, that's what they say. That's what they say, but do we really know the underlying situation or circumstances of any of those? You know, we just believe what the news has said or what he says, she say has said, but do we really know? Do we really know? Wow. I'm completed.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Evangelist, for that.
Well, see, she has a good concept, but I will say this, and this is like I said, some video for me and Tatum saw. She just, the thing is, she brought up a great thing. Where she to stay? First, she was stable. She didn't have, once she got booked in, she was calm. She didn't have any issues. You know, she was mad, a little sad, but not to the point where, and within that hour, like you said, I think, Six, you might hit on something. Maybe it started to wrinkle down on her between in those minutes when she decided to take the chair and put the thing up there. See, it shows her actually putting the chair and putting the thing up. And again, I don't know what was going on with the staff, why they didn't respond, because she was really put in a position where they really didn't – I just didn't think they thought she was a threat to her own life. So – I will say that, you know, for some reason or something, or it could be more stuff that it's always more than the story. And that's why I think she said it. There could be more things going on just even more with her trying to start her life over. It could be more stuff that was going on, and it probably would have came out, and she probably made that decision on her mind that she wanted to take her life. I just kind of figure out how it happened to her to take her life off the, like I said, she's short, and again with that thing, it just mind boggles me and Tatum about this. It's like she actually died from this. So, you know, some people, and even with God, now, the Einstein guy, that was a whole other scenario on how he did it. He they knew he was unstable, but they just didn't think he was going to unstable himself because they felt like he was more had more value being alive. And he finally did his stuff in. But like I said, that situation to me seemed more, I'm kind of saying it's like a spook situation where it's like somehow something else got a hold in her mind or something else made her control her to do that. Y'all kind of understand what I'm trying to go here, y'all?
If I can add on.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we have mental breakdowns, emotional outbursts, and then sometimes people do things seeking attention and maybe not knowing that it would have went that far. Maybe somebody would have came in and gotten attention. She could have been seeking attention, you know, trying to get somebody's attention at that time. We don't know. But I wanted to say this to you, DJ ATL. Is there a difference between being mental incompetent and having a mental illness? Is there a difference between that two? Because they do a mental incompetency evaluation on people. But, you know, some people suffer from mental illness.
You hit it right on the head. I think there are two differences on that. You're right. There are two differences in that. And I think the competent side sometimes is somebody who rarely can do, and again, you just brought it up, it's attention because they want that attention. And then there's people who are mentally, unintentionally, not trying to get, they just mentally ill like that. So it could be like you said, right, it could be something that she decided to do it to get to attention, and I think it probably went so far that she didn't expect to lose her life behind it. See, I think that's another scenario because I'm glad you brought that up because I have a nephew who just passed. Not really one of my cousin's nephew. He's really his play nephew. He's 27 years old. He decided he had a problem with his mother and father breaking up and a lot of other things. There's a lot more going on to the story, but we're now finding out more. He decided to go up, and he lived in Charleston, South Carolina. They all from Charleston. He went on the bridge 3 days ago and jumped off the bridge. Drove up there, planned it out, and jumped off the bridge.
God.
That'd be now.
So, and he's passed now. And we're sitting here, and my cousin called me and said, well, I had talked to him FaceTime 2 weeks ago, calming him down, and mentally, you know, he talked crazy, but it's attention. That's what they call it attention. They just wanted attention. And that was something that he draw attention to himself. So that's why I'm saying you write about something. It is two different ways on how they averse that. So he would like to get that attention to draw to him. So now decide to jump on that bridge to take off that, and again, not knowing that he decided to do it, go through with it, that he was going to lose his life. And I think it could be that you hit it right on the head. It could be the same thing with Shelley. Finally had the illness and broke down, the consequences of it, and decided to take the challenge on it. And then expected the attention back, and it didn't happen that way.
Yeah, because I've seen people slice their wrists several times, and it didn't kill them. But that last time, you know, they hit the wrong vein. It killed them. You know, a seeking tension, though.
Yeah.
So I fight with a lot of people about. I'm sorry, guys. I'll interrupt. I gotta say this. I fight with a lot of people about this because I even had to fight with my younger brother about this. Because I told him a concept. I said God has control over life because I still think God has a lot dependent like this. There's people who I say a lot because some people say miracle, but I'm gonna say this because I have to logically make the sense. There's some people who get in a car accident, right? And they'll walk away from a car accident, right, and the car is completely destroyed. And you'd be like, wow, how this person walked away? It's amazing that person is still alive and that person didn't have a scratch on. And then there'd be a car accident and a person get barely bumped and they pass. You know what I'm saying? And there's people who wake up and there's all kinds of scenarios. There's people who get shot 3 or 4 times in the right veins and sometimes come back and say, here today right now speaking to you, saying that they got shot. And it's kind of, I kind of say this a lot of times. I think sometimes logically God has a lot to do with that on some situations. I watched 3 weeks, about 4 months ago, I was on this call show, and I had three Lamborghinis passing from me on I-20 here in Atlanta. All three of those cars, well, actually all three of those, actually four. Actually four of them got past me, went all up the road, and they all flipped over and blew up, and they're all on fire. All the drivers got through out. All of them survived. Nobody died.
Wow.
So I kind of sometimes logically will say, and I tell people this all the time, I say it just depends on what logically what it is when God, and a lot of time I bring up God, I said God calls some people home differently than he calls others. And I, like I said, there's so many different scenarios on how some people be called home. It's never the same, but we know one thing, some people are called and some people aren't called. Some people go do something stupid and they take the risk of committing suicide, and guess what? They might have other things happen to them, but they're still here right now. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they literally can tell you, yeah, I tried to commit suicide, and I'm still here. So that's what I'm saying. It's kind of logically on how things happen. So going back to this young lady here, which is Ms. Sarah Bland, it's just like I said, from seeing the video, it makes a lot of sense what this brother, what you just said, dog, is that she kind of was looking for attention probably from them, and they just didn't think she was at that alert level to do something stupid like that. So they didn't pay any attention to it until it was too late to find out that she had hanged herself. You know what I'm saying?
May I say something?
But she was not. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
How would she get a chair? How would she get a chair behind the
It was already
the
in the room.
Wall?
No, all this stuff was already in the room. No, this stuff was already in the room. See, this is what I'm trying to tell you. She was in a room where she had access to the bathroom. She had access to some things in there. So, because she's not a threat. What? She was not a threat. Like some people, when what? They go in, you know, they're mentally ill and they're acting up, they're out of control, they're throwing their body against her. She wasn't doing none of that. So,
okay,
again,
ATL, let her talk.
Okay.
Amen. Thank you. I was saying, how would she get a chair? How would she have access to chairs? Now, when you are locked up, you don't have access to no chairs. You don't have no there is a bathroom, but the bathroom is an open bathroom. It ain't no bathroom where you go and shut the door. You know, like you go into a private bathroom or you go into a private institution, or you're a great celebrity and so forth, that they're gonna put you in a condo, a jailhouse or anything. They don't give you chairs. You have bunks to sit on and you can't move those bunks. And the toilet, you can't move the toilet. You know, so my thing is how is she being as short as she? I'm short, but there is no way that I would have the determination to wanna climb. She would have to climb up on top of the sink, and the sink is so different in jail. I don't know if you've been to jail, if you've been behind the walls before, but assuming that you don't go in a hotel when you go into jail. You go into jail on a bunk that can't be moved, and the toilet can't be moved, the sink can't be moved, you know, and so forth. So you don't have this extravagant stuff. And the gentleman that you said to jump off of the bridge, today we are faced with so much different drugs out here now. So what may have triggered him, what may have thought that he was Superman, you know, or Superfly, or whoever the case may be, that he jumped off the bridge. There are so many different drugs today now. You got the fentanyl out there. You got this money out there that make you do crazy things. So we can't always assume it was her. We would never know the real story behind what happened, what caused this. We would never know the real story. We can put things together, assume it, but we will never know. Because one thing for sure and two things we know, I say again, you got some undercover devious people that are behind the scene that make things happen to you. set things up that make you look like you did it and so forth. So, you know, but we so quick to just drop the ball. We so quick to drop the ball and believe that it is what it is. It's not what it is. It's what has happened. And then because we don't get down to the deep source of anything, we don't dig and try to find the answer. We just let it go for what it is. They said that's what happened, so we're going to believe they said that's what happened. We don't know.
Well,
but as I said, you have some demons.
This is why I'm telling you, I think you don't get it. I have to come in.
I don't get
it. I have seen the video. I seen the video. That's what I'm telling you. Difference is I had access
to the video.
But I'm just telling you that what was in the room, I'm just telling you what was in the room was a chair. It was a chair in the room. I'm letting you know that. I don't know whether that's the process of them, but in that room, she had a chair. I just want to make sure that was clear, because I don't want you to assume that someone knowing that for some reason they had a chair, I don't know, maybe prior to that, the person they had someone else in there that might they sat down with or Perel, but they did have a chair in that room. As far as the room concerned, I'm just giving y'all more info because I've seen the video with Tatum, and that's what I'm trying to tell you. But I have seen
To add on to what DJ ATL is saying about the chair, I've actually seen them on these TV shows on 60 Day Inn and stuff like that. They do have chairs, Evangelist Clayton, in certain facilities and county jails and things like that. They set out in their day pods with them, and then they take them into their rooms sometimes. So they do have those plastic chairs, and then like you said, on your line and stuff in sometimes in certain ones. Maybe not all facilities, but in certain ones, they do have them. You know, so it could be a real possibility.
I'm not trying to knock it down. Just let him know that I just want to make sure clearly up that I'm not sitting up here making the story up and assuming this is not what someone told me. This is what I saw with my own two eyes with Officer Tatum. We watched it, and I watched it with him, and he had it going on, and we saw it. And I said, wow, how is it? You know, I was kind of concerned about that, what the chair was there. But again, just like I tried to explain to y'all, this girl was no threat to no one. She wasn't even a threat to herself. She actually had talked to one of the people, one of the young ladies that walked into his offices. She had talked when she got put in the room. She was quiet. She was skinny. I don't know what from prior time from she being in there. Maybe, like you said, Six said something about her money. Maybe she couldn't bail herself out, job. Maybe all that came together. And it seemed like more alive, like a spook came over and it made her decide to take that risk and to do that and take that attention to take the thing. She actually pulled what was on the bed off, and she digged around and then she decided to put it up there. So, again, I'm just saying, on the securities office side, I get it. They didn't think they had other people in this place, and she was in her room by herself. The other people probably was acting up. They dealing with that. They didn't think she was a main threat. She was a black young lady that they seemed more respectful. She wasn't on drugs. She wasn't on anything. She was calm. So for that to end the spire, to end up like that, that's what I'm trying to tell y'all. It's just like you're trying to watch all your prisons, but you're watching them mostly focus on the ones that are really unfit, and she was not one that was unfit at that time.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to y'all?
No, it doesn't make sense.
No.
They said at one point they showed her. They showed her when she got booked. They did her fingerprints and all that stuff. They showed that. They said they showed her in the cell sitting there. Then they said the camera stopped working, and the next time she was hanging.
The camera got lost. But see, hold on. I'm glad you brought that up because I'm glad you brought it. The camera lost. Still, the chair was still in the same spot. See, the chair never moved from the spot that she actually. So again, between that, they like I said to her, she still even with they lost the footage, she still was communicating with the P officers and saying that what she was going through, whatever. But she wasn't hysterical, crazy, or anything. Well, I'm trying to say she wasn't doing any breakdown for them to make them think that she was incapable, unfit to be out of that room. So they actually thought she was, like, there was no problem with her. So, like I said, that's I'm just giving you the info on that part. I'm not trying to knock y'all and say that, and try to say, oh, girl, that there could be some shadiness or not. But I'm just telling you, for what we saw, me and Taylor, it's just like all of a sudden she broke down and decided to do that quickly. She did it fast.
Well, it's not making sense. If they showed her, they
it don't make sense. It doesn't make any sense.
They showed her when she was sitting there in the cell. It mm-hmm. messes up right in the middle. It's like reading a book, and the middle part is missing, but the last page is there. So,
come
so
on.
It's
but,
like,
you're right. You're right, Six, but
can
let
he
me
please,
say this.
Can he please finish talking? Can he please finish talking? Please.
Yeah, go ahead.
Like, okay, she's sitting there. Then what happened in the middle? This is when the tape miraculously stopped, and okay. then they got working again after she mm-hmm. after she was. So what happened prior to that, and what made her go out during that time? Because it's an incomplete.
I'm glad you brought that up, because still between that time when the thing went out, she comes back. She's still calm. She has no problem. They still talk. They communicate with her. She has no problem. They actually talking to her after that. That's what I'm saying. Then next time later on, that's when this thing mysteriously happens. That's what I'm trying to say. It's kind of weird that I'm glad you bring that up. So whatever, if that middle part, if she was in the room, she probably was sitting there not doing anything. I'll probably go. She wasn't in a radical state. That's what I'm saying, because it's kind of weird. If you were in a radical state, you were saying this. I'm just trying to say this on the right point. If you're in a radical state and the thing comes like, oh, you'd still be radical, right? You'd still be like, oh, man, I want to get out of it. Oh, well, but she was not when it came back. She was calm. She was like, looked like a regular person sitting in the room minding her own business. She didn't show anything anywhere point that where she was going to be hysterical or crazy. You know what I'm saying? See, and that's what I'm trying to say. It didn't show anything that was going to make it seemed like she was going to do something that was going to be detrimental to her life. You understand what I'm saying, Mr. Six Eyes? It never showed that. And then when it did come on, and then, like you said, after that, it's later on when the camera is actually running, still running, she decides, okay, yes, I've decided to just do it. So it's kind of weird. Like I said, it's so weird. And I don't know if you could chop that up now. Like you said, again, the man said something very earlier. There's always been known that people have been committing suicide in these places. It's always been kind of weird. Yes, that's one of the spots. But it's from that evidence from what me and Tatum joined, we watched it hard, and he examined it, not just him, a lot of other people examined it. They just can't – they just seem like it's just randomly happened. And we, like you said, again, between the time, if there was mm-hmm. someone that came in and said something to her – She must have been calm from that whole time, and then maybe it kicked in. It kicked in way later. It doesn't make any sense. You know, I give y'all an example of something. Let's say me and you, Six Eyes, argue. You're arguing with me right now, right? I'm all hyped. I'm hyped up. And you walk out. I'm still hyped up. I'm moving. I'm like, yo, man, I can't believe this, Mom. You'll still be going, mostly moving your body. You still won't feel comfortable. You'll be upset. You'll throw a fit. You'll be adding. You might be crying. You'll have all those emotions going on. From her, she didn't show any emotions like that. You see what I'm saying? It's like she was just sitting there minding her own business. Like, there was no problem. Then all of a sudden, she decides to do that. Boom, she's gone because they weren't paying attention to her. You know what I'm saying? You kind of get what I'm saying? It's kind of weird, like I'm trying to tell you. It's like all of a sudden you just decide to do it. Boom. Do it, man. Okay.
Finish the entertainment news.
Yeah, okay.
All right, continue, Pride and Joy, please. Pride and Joy, still
Pride and Joy.
Yeah, I'm still right here.
Okay, they're calling you.
Okay. Went to sleep.
Oh no, I ain't went to sleep. I was just waiting till it stopped. All right. Is everybody okay?
BR, continue.
Y'all want to go ahead to the next? You want to keep? You want to set it down, or you want to keep going?
Oh.
Huh?
Rest of the show. Go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. So the next thing we're gonna go over is a 7-year-old little girl discovered a
6.95 carat diamond while visiting a state park. A lucky youngster got the birthday gift of a lifetime when she discovered that 2.95 carat. They said it's golden brown diamond. She found it in Arkansas at Craters of Diamond State Park, and they let her keep it for her birthday. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Aspen Brown, that's her name, Aspen Brown. Yeah, on September 1st, and that was her birthday. They let her keep the ring. That's nice because most people would maybe give it back. But they said she got to keep her green ring. I mean, got to keep her ring. Next, we're going to go on to a lady that had a 10-year-old son. They said they had a 10-year-old son. It was nowhere. Well, I mean nowhere for him to use the bathroom. So he used the bathroom, you know. This was they used the bathroom. As he was using the bathroom, a policeman came up. So they arrested him and took him to jail and everything for peeing in on a private property. And the lady said that they deserved to give her son an apology for doing that, taking him down to the police station. So what y'all think about that? On a private, it is a private property, but it was a private property where children was at, and, you know, they was playing like children do when they go in their little areas and play. And it's just, you know, it was just, I guess he had to pee. He said it wasn't no bathrooms nowhere, so he just, you know, peed.
Listen, I mean,
Now, what you say?
If he had to go use the bathroom, I mean, if it would have been somewhere, I'm sure he would have went. It's been people that use the bathroom in the parking lot, broad daylight.
Exactly.
So, little boy, and I mean, I mean, hey, I don't think he should have went to jail for that.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
I got bad news for y'all on that one. There's a case here in Georgia that they did with a young, actually seven-year-old. A man took his son over and had him use the bathroom on the side of the highway. This is about 7 years ago. And the cop arrested the father and the child, 7 years old. It was all over the news. This is all over the news. And the court system ended up filing the kid. But they gave him pedophilia charges, which they say the seven-year-old, since he had his private parts out, it's pedophilia. And he was peeing on the side of the road. Which the baby had, and I'm like, you know, to me, a lot of people had a logic saying that was stupid. And they gave him filler. So this was been going around the country that they were telling people, even with children, that you can't, even grown men, you cannot stop and use the outside and use the grounds if they see it. So I'm glad y'all brought this one up because I just saw this happen downtown Atlanta yesterday. They had a man got out of his own car. We were sitting in traffic. This is during the daylight. And he got out of his car and went on the side of his car and used the bathroom. The cops pulled up. They arrested him. And I asked the officer, because I was right there, because I'm still sitting there. I said, what are y'all going to arrest him for? They arrested him for now. They're putting on him pedophilia case because that's part of pedophilia because his penis is showing. So they say that even wrote of any other child to see a penis part. So I'm thinking that's the logically what's going on with across the country. They tell you not to, if you're going to use the bathroom, you got to find somewhere that's a public bathroom to go use the bathroom. Even if a child, so you definitely don't want the officers to catch you because if the officers see you, they can actually arrest you whatever age you are. On pedophilia. It goes for women and girls. It goes for women and men. Let's say that. I don't know about animals, but I know human beings. Yeah, go ahead.
May I say this? You know, all our life, all our life, and I think I'm older than even in front of you out here, all our life that we have traveled, we have went to various places and so forth. Even you pull up to a restaurant, and there was a gentleman that lost his life. There was a gentleman that lost his life. A manager in the McDonald's lost his life because he came out of the McDonald's. There was a line of customers in line. A gentleman had to get out to use a bathroom. He went out by the dumpster, and had his back turned. You know, so, you know, with men get out and men pee in the minute and quick and back in their vehicle. You know, same thing when you're traveling, we travel and have taken the babies out because babies had to go to the bathroom, had to pee. Let's just say it down to earth, had to pee. So mama get out of the car, open her passenger door, and put the baby between the passenger door and the squat and pee right quick, like, and wipe and sanitize their hands and get back into the car and go. They've been doing that all over the world. People have been stopping, not knowing what they're stopping for. Some may be checking their tires, and in the midst of them checking their tires and so forth, they take a leak. They take a leak. This been going on forever and a day, and I just find it to be the appalling. Now, if you're doing it, you know, broad daylight. If you done got out and you done went to the dumpster out by the dumpster and your back is turned, then the manager comes out of the restaurant. Get in it with the gentleman that done got out to use the bathroom. Now, he done came out of the establishment, and went out to approach this gentleman because he got out to pee, but he had his back turned. So the manager assumed that's what he was doing. So he got in an argument. The manager lost his life because he left out of the McDonald's establishment to go and approach somebody that had got out to pee because they had been in the line. They're in the line. The line is still long. And I assumed that he couldn't hold it. He couldn't hold it. So he got out and went to pee by the dumpster that had his back turned, you know. And whether it was right or whether it was wrong, you know, if he had to pee and he was quickly done it, you know, and he's done, you know, he's done and on his way back getting in his car. But he's approached by someone arguing and just extremely belligerent. You know, you done came out of your establishment, then you lost your life because you approached someone, you know.
If I can add something on to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the rules and the regulations has been set in place, you know, for protective measurements to prevent things like this from happening. That's why it's a law against it. So the manager shouldn't have had to come out from his establishment no way and tell the man not to be using the restroom right there. I understand that you have to do it, but these is why laws and rules and regulations has been set in place to prevent certain things from happening like this. This would be a prime example. If somebody just was walking down the street and had to use the restroom right in your line, you probably would have something to say. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just out of like, hey, wow, you know. But they had probably really had to go to the restroom. But, you know, unfortunately it happens like that. You know, should he lost his life? I don't think so. But at the same time, you know, things happen like that. But these is why these laws has been put in place to prevent certain things like that, and this is why we should follow the laws. You know, it even speaks about obeying the laws in the Bible of the land. You know, so most of us should follow these laws. A lot of us been breaking these laws unconscious, to knowing that these laws has been in place. So just because we don't know a law is in place, don't make no excuse. That's what the law says. You know, there's so many people that's done lost their life to breaking the law because they didn't know the law existed. So I'm complete. I just wanted to add that on.
Got to let Pride and Joy fit more because she's complete with the entertainment news, and we still got to do Slam the Scammer. All right, Pride and Joy, no more interruptions.
Okay, well, here's Slam the Scammer. Four signs that it's a scam. Scammers pretend to be from an organization you know. Scammers often pretend to be contacting you on behalf of the government. They might use a real name, like the Social Security Administration, the IRS, or Medicare, or make up a name that sounds official. Some pretend to be from a business you know, like a utility company, a tech company, or even a charity asking for donations. They use technology to change the phone number that appears on your caller ID, so the name and number you see might not be real. Number two, scammers say there's a problem or a prize. They might say you're in trouble with the government or you owe money, or someone in your family had an emergency, or that there's a virus on your computer. Some scammers say there's a problem with one of your accounts and that you need to verify some information. Others will lie and say you won money in a lottery or sweepstakes, but have to pay a fee to get it. That happened to me. Some guy called me one day and said, you got $1 million coming in your go-getter post office box, and you all signed a Mercedes in your drive. I thought, you've got to be kidding. But it never happened, obviously. Number three, scammers pressure you to act immediately. Scammers want you to act before you have time to think. If you're on the phone, they might tell you not to hang up so you can't check out their story. They might threaten to arrest you, sue you, take away your driver's or business license, or deport you. They might say your computer is about to be corrupted. And number four, scammers tell you to pay in a specific way. They often insist that you pay using cryptocurrency by wiring money through a company like MoneyGram or Western Union, or by putting money on a gift card and then giving them the number on the back. Some will send you a check that will later turn out to be fake, then tell you to deposit it and send them money. There's another thing that happened to Kenny and me one time. We tried to buy a car, and at first, all we were going to do is use a Walmart gift card, but they kind of swindled us into the car, and it had bad airbags. And then I had another one that had something wrong with the windshield wiper in the back. I'll never buy from NASA again. Okay, I'm complete.
Was Pride and Joy done with her entertainment news?
No. Now, nobody, Pride and Joy, finish the entertainment news.
Yeah.
Stuff's on mute. Finish the entertainment news. No more interruption.
All right. This is going to go over to Diddy. Sean Diddy scores. A significant win indicates against his alcohol grant. He has this, you know, these alcohol that he has in these clubs that he sell while he's in a club, but he really was trying to get over on these but he really got to get over on these people where they're going to have to pay him some money because he's saying that they work together and he was working up under pressure and unreasonable things. And they were saying that, you know, he wasn't trustworthy. He was unreal. He was doing things. He was doing too much. But when it all came out, Diddy got to get his money, as always. He took him to court, and he got to get his money. So Diddy is happy right now for his place. This place is Young Jeezy. You know, he finally got somebody. I told y'all when I seen him on Breakfast Club, that he was on there talking about a book that he wrote. He wrote a book about his life. and he needed somebody to help him go about, you know, getting the right option, getting the right people to do his book. And Charlemagne the God helped him out. Charlemagne the God has about 5 books, and DJ Envy, he got some books, and, you know, they all in the same area. So they end up helping him out. So it turns out good that now he's getting ready to write his second book, because he said this is the only job that he has right now. It's the only income he got coming in, so he got to keep up with the good work and continue to write his next book. I think that's all.
Okay.
Now, little baby broke silent about the Memphis concert. At first, he was being real quiet about it. He was being real quiet about it at first, but now he's going ahead and, you know, telling what he want, you know, they want to know. Because they was looking for little baby. Little baby was in Hatton. And it was about a shooting that took place in Memphis at his concert now. His concert, and he running in Hatton. I ain't going to hide it. So long. Concert. But, yeah, he finally, you know, went in and went ahead and do what he had to do. I don't know if it's a good look, though, telling on people, but he went ahead and did what he had to do. But that's all. Let me make sure I did it. Oh, yeah, y'all know Bobby Caldwell dead, 71 years old. This man that he had been working on, he worked with Tupac. He said he worked with Tupac. He worked with John Legend. He worked with a lot of great people. You don't know him? You used to know him, Six. You used to be the main one. Know them older people. Do you
know
him, Six? You know him?
Well,
Bobby. Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah. He's dead at 71. Wow. But he said he would like to work with some of the other artists that are out there. But go ahead.
Yeah. I was introduced to Bobby Caldwell at a very early age.
Mm-hmm.
My father had this egg chair. It was shaped like an egg. And it had the little ottoman, and it was a stereo chair. And I remember hearing "What You Want to Do for Love" in that chair. Beautiful memory. And I was eating some sour cream and onion potato chips. I remember that. It's like it was yesterday. But, yeah, he was a great artist. He fell under the category blue-eyed soul, because
mm-hmm.
a lot of people thought that he was of African descent. And it was funny because when he first came to Cleveland, a lot of people thought was black, you know, when they heard him, you know, on the radio. And then when they seen him in person, they said he came out long hair. I said, wait a minute, this dude is Caucasian, you know, and
mm-hmm.
he won the hearts of everybody in that club. It didn't even matter. And that's about music. Music has no color. Music has
mm-hmm.
no color, but it brings us all together. So, yeah, Bobby Caldwell, definitely a great talent. Definitely a great talent.
I know that his wife said that, you know, while he was sick, she laid beside him all the way until he died. I don't know if I could do that. Maybe beside somebody.
Bobby Caldwell passed. I said Bobby Caldwell passed.
Yeah, he passed away. He said he was 71.
Wow. You know, can I say something? Because I definitely want to say, people don't know that Bobby Caldwell put that song out right during the disco era. And when he put it out during the disco era, nobody liked it, that song. They actually was, like, rejecting that because it was like, oh, no. It took him 10 years for that song. Actually, he actually got a regular job. And then 10 years later, they actually put it back on the air. And that's how it took off. I think it was based out of, like y'all said, out of Cleveland. It came out of Cleveland. Back out of Cleveland after the disco era, because remember, disco era just completely stopped. Right when it stopped, Bobby Caldwell's song started, that song started playing again, and it took off. Because 10 years before that, while the disco was going on, it was not going, it did not work out. It was like nobody even knew it was a brother. They didn't know what it was. They just thought the song was not a good song. It was just not that time. So I know that a lot of trackers, I know my godfather had a Caldwell, and they talked about it. Harvey talked about it, and they were talking about this. Yeah, Harvey, because he knew Caldwell too, and he was like, man, you know, you always tell that story that you when you put that song out, it came back to life. So a lot of people don't know that Bobby Caldwell's song, the one we talk about, we hear now, it came out during the disco era. And disco did not eject it, did not play. It didn't take it on. So they was like, wipe it off. So after the disco just completely stopped, that song came back. And Carl was actually working a regular job, man, and he got the call like, man, you so hot, man. We got to get you all over. And I think he was in Cleveland. Like you said, Six Eyes, he was in Cleveland. And that song took off, and that became one of the biggest songs ever. It's actually one of the biggest songs now as far as ever because actually Tupac Shakur sampled it.
Yeah.
There have been so many samples on it for forever, but at first when it came out during, like I said again, it came out during the disco era, which was it was flat and nobody liked it. They didn't want to have nothing to do with that song. So that's history, man, and I just feel bad that Bobby Caldwell passed because he really, to me, was very unique in a way. He was a very unique artist. And in a lot of ways, his music transpired over to all colors of races because he actually was a sticking form for R&B and jazz together at one time with that song. That song kind of woke up a little bit more for jazz. That's why King Genum had a more of an easier path to come out because, like I said, jazz music had really died since the disco era and all that. And with Bobby putting that single out and it actually came back out, it actually gave a lot of the jazz artists a chance to stay out here boning James a lot. And I think a lot of them owe him, they do say this, they all say homage to Bobby Caldwell because Bobby Caldwell really what got jazz still back in the front to keep it still out here maintaining now as we speak today. So,
yeah.
Hey.
Well,
real facts there.
Yeah, well, thank you for that pride and joy. And our condolences goes out to the Caldwell family. Our thoughts and prayers goes out to you at this difficult time. Condolences from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Now, if you all have nothing to do on a Saturday at 6 p.m., on a Friday at 6 p.m., you check out My Daddy's Records on Six Eyes Radio Network, 515-605-9340. Now, Friday, I did a tribute to Jimmy Buffett, and Wolfgang and Ruthie enjoyed. Yep. And then
we have nothing.
Where were you at Friday, 6 o'clock, Pride and Joy?
Friday, 6 o'clock.
My Daddy's Records.
I had to be on the line, but you just gave us that number, didn't you? The one for Friday.
All right. My Daddy's Records. You all missed it. Tell them how you enjoyed.
Well, I enjoyed it immensely considering Jimmy Buffett was one of my grandmother's favorite artists. I just didn't know who he was all the time she was playing him. And when Six started playing him and said, this is Jimmy Buffett, I was like, and the minute he started the very first song, I was like, now I know that song. And then one song after another, I was like, now I know this artist. Now I know who he is. And then when he told me the time and the dates that he was out, I was like, now I know why. It was my grandmother who used to listen to him. I was able to place it.
Jimmy Buffett, man, I missed the show, didn't I? Six Eyes, I missed something, didn't I? Oh, boy, well, you played some Jimmy Buffett? Oh, man. I mean, Johnny Butler? Oh, yeah.
Woo. Jimmy Buffett, right, brother.
Yeah, him and Gene Chandler. Okay, yeah. I got some stories to tell that my godfather talked about with them too. All right.
I want to hear.
One time they were them two argued about who was going to go first on stage, so they got in the they were sitting in the. In the back with a whole bunch of people, while them two was they were both grabbing on each other and they were rolling on the ground because one of them wanted to go first. happening, and one was in the closing, but they decided they, Bubba decided he wanted to go first, then going last. It's just the weirdest thing. Like I say, it's some stuff that, man, I heard that story was hilarious, man. And they said security didn't know what to do. Because they kept yelling at them, don't y'all touch us. Leave us right here. We're going to figure this out. They on the ground rolling on each other. Yeah, so that's what I said. But, hey, story. Extraordinary. Sorry about that. Extraordinary. But, hey, like I said, there's some great stories out there with Chick Willis. There's some great stories out there with, what's the other one, Wilson Pickett. Al Green, Ray Charles. There's a lot of stuff out there that I think is fascinating. I can't wait, and I'm going to say this about this time. I think they got a lot of young artists now that's been coming up in the industry now. That's not really getting a lot of noise, but they have their own unique sound. We got a guy that's out of North Carolina right now. He has this old spirit song sound like from the doo-wop era, and I think he's very good at doing it. And I'll probably get some music on and start playing on the air so y'all can hear it. Because there's some real good music out here, and a lot of artists are doing some rearrangements of the sounds of Marvin Gaye and all that. And you probably say, well, if Marvin Gaye had lived, he probably would have did this song. Or these certain people, Otis Redding, it go from what stretch. So there is a lot of good quality groups and good quality artists out here. It's just that it's hard to let them be exposed because there's not really too many outlets for these guys. But I'm going to start trying to play it here live on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Y'all hear first from me. We're going to start pushing some of these artists, start playing some of this stuff. All right, pass the ball, man. So what are we going to do? We're going to keep rolling the kale and y'all? I mean, there's still a lot to talk about. They still got a lot. I mean, there's a lot. We got to talk about this whole thing with the Obama and his. We haven't even got. Have we talked about the Obama and the chef? His personal chef?
Yeah, he got a personal.
We are going to let Pride and Joy. This has been the longest. Write this down, Pride and Joy. This has been the longest entertainment news. Let the woman finish the damn entertainment news.
I don't.
Go ahead.
You can go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, you need to go ahead. We need to just go ahead and finish it. We got to get it over. Come on.
I'm already through. That's what I was saying. I was through. That was my last.
She was through. Yeah. The biggest thing right now, and I didn't really talk about it, it's Obama situation right now, where the speculation of his former White House chef, which came to him from the White House, and the chef is a known professional swimmer. And this story's been breaking for the last couple of months. It's been breaking for it's been about 4 weeks now since this happened. The chef was found, he actually drowned.
Mm-hmm.
On a little boat, a little ski thing or something, drowned, which he's a professional swimmer. So a lot of alleges that his wife and them had knew, and there's a lot of alleges going around, but the guy was a professional swimmer. There was someone else with him that when he drowned, which exactly they said they didn't really reach out to really save him. And they also said there was going to be a story or book that he was about to put out. So I don't know. Everyone's talk about this neck of those, that how this chef died. It doesn't add up. They got all kinds of videos showing him swimming professionally. And all of a sudden, his body ends up drowning. And his wife is really nonchalant, which, people go through stress. And when they lose someone close to them like that, mm-hmm. that is very hard. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people's making spectacles. But the big question is now which came out with this all-out book. So a lot of people were saying maybe he had an affair because now they have this love letter, and I know a lot of y'all have heard about this. It's been, whether it's facts or not, his brother had came out, his brother on his father's side, the older brother said that in the family on that side said that Obama was gay. They're now saying that. Then there's a letter that came out just now in the last 2 weeks that they claimed that Obama did, that claimed that he was gay, which I don't know. Like I said, this is all spectacle. I don't know if it's realistic or not, but they said this, and they were saying this book was going to come out saying that he was gay. And then he also got this Tucker situation, which everyone has not talked about this. I'm going to go ahead and break it out. Tucker just interviewed this Caucasian man who claimed to be Obama's lover. And this is all over Fox. It came out through Fox. Tucker interviewed this guy. He claimed that he was supposed to get in some serious trouble because they had tied him up to being a serial killer or something. It was weird. He said he was tied to be a serial killer, and he almost got locked up, but he wasn't a serial killer, so he was a gay serial killer. So I don't know if this stuff is just made up, believed to draw off entertainment news. I don't know, but I just wanted to put it out there, and I want y'all guys to think about that. Just think about that in this letter with, they're claiming that he have out, that Obama has, that he claimed he had this letter out, that he was actually infatuated with a man. So I don't know where I do pass. Hey, Six Eyes, you want to jump in on this one? Because I mean, and then we got the White, and like I said, to come back to you, we got Obama running the White House, which they said, and a lot of times they're saying this, that his influence is very strong on the White House, and a lot of decision making, him and Joe Biden, he's getting with Joe Biden. And help making those decisions that he can't make. Really, again, I kind of like believe this is probably true because, you know, Joe Biden is 80-some years old. Also, you know, the House Speaker is, you know, supposed to be about 83 years old, and she's trying to run for another term. So I believe that, yes, I believe that Obama has a lot of foreign term. I think he has a lot of influence. When he did run his White House for the 8 years that he did, it was ran successfully. So I think that at this term, I think that his influence is definitely really huge in that party, and I think that he couldn't get a third term. If a third term was needed, this would be how his third term would be. And I think because if we will stay the way that we're seeing Joe Biden decline, I'm not saying that he can't run the way he's been acting or some missing, that if anything, we probably would have already had Kamala Harris at the forefront doing, but I think because Obama's still in the mix, I think Obama's really running it, and he's making decisions, and I think everything is going through to him, and they're alerting him on what's the next decision, next move, and I believe that he's still talking to a lot of the foreign countries, he's still talking to, and because he's a very good talker, people got to remember, Obama's one of the most intelligent, high-speaking people, person, to deal with any conflict across his country. We got to put that in interest. So he's a very smart, intelligent man, and I think that he is more presentable than anybody that we probably had in the White House for a long time. I think even close to him and Ronald Reagan is right at point in point. I even think he's a little bit more articulate than Ronald Reagan. Can y'all believe that at this time? Could I actually get a support on that? So that's why I do really believe that his influence is definitely on some decision-making is actually being done and is actually coming to him. And I think that's why we have not seen Kamala at the forefront as we should as the declining of President Joe Biden.
Well, I'm going to say this. Anybody that's seen Michelle Obama know damn well Barack is not gay. So, you seen Michelle Obama. Now, who would want to be gay with that?
Well,
nobody.
That's the question, too. Everybody asking this question, is that Photoshop, is she wants? There's a lot of questions out there, and I don't want to get it, because like I said, I tell people I don't like to go into conspiracy thinking, but, you know, I don't know. It really doesn't bother me. I just want the country run the right way, professionally run the right way. I just worry about as long as all of us is taken care of, as long as us is getting murdered and killed, as long as we're moving in the right direction as far as human beings. That's what we're saying. So I don't really care about what they love life is. I don't care what they got going. That's between them and them. What goes on in their bedroom should go on in their bedroom. What goes on with anybody in their bedroom should go on in their bedroom. It should not be known for everyone to know. Am I right about that? Can someone give me an amen on that one?
Yeah, you were right on about that. Amen.
So I don't think we should be. I got to tell people, I don't care. Hey, whatever goes over someone's bedroom, that's their bedroom. I don't care. That's personal. That's their life. They can do what they want. There's nothing. I don't need to know what goes on. I don't care, hetero or whatever. That's in their bedroom. Whatever preference they have, that's their preference. It doesn't involve me. So I think that's in rough, but I do think that what's really relevant is where the country is going and what's going to make my life a lot easier for me to go work and make a living. So and I think those are the most important things. And I do feel that if everybody asks me right now and say, hey, would you still like to see Obama up there as a term president? Yeah, I think everybody would like to because they know he's capable of doing it. Until he's not capable, nobody will say that. But I think his influence, like I said, we can't deny that he's not technically an influenced person. He is really influenced, and technically he can speak. He knows what to say. He's just a spectacular, high-educated person that knows life and knows where to go with, whether you agree with him or not, whether you like him or not, whether you think whatever. But he's very intelligent, and I think that if I was anybody and I was in the White House and I was an aide, I would listen to Obama because Obama knows technically I can listen to him and I feel comfortable and safe with him saying decisions and making decisions. I mean, I can't see nobody wouldn't. I mean, even from both parties, I can't see it. I can't see them saying, oh, let's hear what he says. Okay, yeah, okay, it makes sense. Let's logically go with what he says because he knows what he's doing. He was the former president for 8 years, and he was successful at doing that. Am I right? So I'm going to keep it that, and I tell Republicans and I tell them that. I say regardless whether y'all want to move one way or not, y'all know he was highly intelligent. He was very professional. He said the right things when he needed to say them, and he always spoke right. So, and that's one thing that I knew about all the Republicans that I know on the conservative side. I said, yeah, hands down. His speaking ability is so high. So you can't definitely digress. When I told people this too, we got to remember, I know I got to get this one off. When we had the economy problems and everyone was talking about the bailout, the government and all that, Obama sold that well that we needed to bail off the economy. We had to bail off the car dealerships and all that stuff because that was the only way that we won't lose so much money and so many people won't be homeless and people won't lose their mortgages and all that. So he really sold it, and he made people really believe that we had to do that, and we actually did. And it was the only way at that time. There was not one economist, there was not one person that did not agree with Obama giving that bailout to those companies. Not one person. You not have not one person fight that because they knew that truly that was the only way at that time. So pass the ball, Mr. Six Eyes. I am complete.
The pride of joy.
I wanted to ask you guys something. Have you ever heard of Michelle Obama's book called The Light We Carry? It is very good. And she talks about what she did during the COVID, like she learned how to knit. I mean, she told a lot of interesting points. You might like to look at it sometime.
I'm familiar with that book, be honest with you. Yes, it is very, again, she's highly intelligent too. And I think that's another thing that a lot of people had really wanted her to really become the run for president, run for the office. And I think that's still not counted out that there may be down the road she might look into doing that. I think the reason why we don't see her doing it now is because I say, again, Obama influence is just so very huge. Still as we speak at this moment, with Joe Biden there, I believe a lot of the other countries and stuff, dictators are dealing with him directly and talking with him. So, like I said, it's a huge, I'm saying it's kind of like a huge room. He's a huge elephant in the room. And I'm not going to sit up and tell nobody, no lie. I sit up and tell somebody, oh, man, Obama, if he could run again for president of the United States of America, I guarantee majority of us will take that risk and vote him in. I know that for a fact. We will vote him in because we see a crisis right now, and the crisis is what financially for us, banking industry crashing. And at the time when he came in after George Bush, he actually saved the economy and got the economy back going. And even though Trump kind of took on what he took on as it, but we knew it took Obama to get us to the point so Trump could come in and do what he kind of did. Does that make sense to y'all? I'm complete.
Yeah. But we'll see. We'll see. We definitely know Trump is throwing his hat back. So we just got to see how it goes. Got to be in a race. Now, these Beyonce Renaissance Tour has been great. You get a chance. Oh, it's been doing real good. Blue Ivy is out there for 5 minutes doing her show, her song that she won Grammy for. She's out there out boogie, and that's a beautiful thing. And she's definitely following her mom's footsteps, and that's a beautiful thing.
All right, when are you guys ready for me to try to stump you with this song?
Go right ahead. Go right ahead. Come on, put them up, put them up.
All right, and this one I believe I could stump the whole crew tonight. So get your thinking caps on, everybody, because here it comes.
You never told me, but that's an Indian talking in a, they're doing a powwow or a war dance, because I listened to something like that at the library.
Ruthie's got it.
Am I right?
Native American war dance.
I can't believe it. I actually, it's because I had borrowed this CD from the library. That's how I knew. But I didn't know where you got it from.
You're lucky, Ruth, because if you hadn't gotten it, me and Emily would have had to go on a war dance for against you all you on the Six Eyes Radio Network. You saved us from me and Emily going on a war dance on you guys.
Yeah, my favorite's the Cherokee, and that's what you are. Oh, well.
But guess what? Everybody on the Six Eyes Radio Network gets their own copy of that song, so you can wake up to that. That could be your alarm clock.
Oh, honey, you got to show them the one we used to do when we came in every morning, wake up, was that Carmen song, Satan Bite the Dust.
Yeah. But, so you got an experience there, Six, tonight.
That was something. I thought it was Tonto. Yeah.
We also recommend Katherine Anderson's Comanche Moon, huh, Ken?
Mm-hmm. So, there you go, Six. That's a traditional Native American war dance.
Okay. All right.
They go different places. You can see some powwows because I have these magazines I get in the mail, and they show you places where they have powwows. In some areas. I think it'd be cool to go to the Mohican Wilderness if we could ever get a vehicle again. That'd be cool. But I don't think I'd take us to the woods, son. That'd be something wild.
Well, let's fix speaker.
The monkeys. Where's that song at? The monkeys. All right.
Well, we had a great show. I don't have anything else to say, but thank you all for joining us here on Six Eyes Radio Network, kicking it with Six Eyes, ATL, and the crew. I want to thank everybody as always. John, thanks, always coming through. Vincent Clayton, Pride and Joy, the Wolfgangs, Queen Nye, ATL, myself, Six Eyes, said Evangelist Clayton, the whole crew. I want to thank you all. Say Pride and Joy. Yeah, say Pride and Joy. Everybody, the whole crew, I want to thank you all for listening. And we're going to get out of here. I'm complete unless you guys want to continue.
Oh, you guys, I forgot something on that scammer report. You should report any scam you know to the Federal Trade Commission. It's FTC.gov on your computer.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey.
All right, man. Six, we had a great show. I enjoyed everybody. I got a chance to stay here all on the show. Didn't get a chance to leave out. I'm in a different location. Only had one incident, but I'm at a great location here, so that's why I kind of been on the show all. And I just want to thank everyone who joined the show today and hope for the more we have more better shows and keep going. Try not to interrupt. I apologize if I interrupt anyone. I apologize if I come off a little bit snarky on everyone today, but I was just trying to make sure that I had a point done. I just want to make sure that everybody's words was represented right, and I just want to make sure I was clear on the situation. I apologize to Ms. I need to apologize to Ms. Clayton. I apologize that that I was coming. I just wanted to make sure I let them know that chair was in that room. That's all I wanted to say because I did see it sitting there the whole time.
No problem.
But, hey, that's all good. It's all love. Next week we'll be blasting because we'll have some more stuff to talk about. Woo, because you know we always do. And we're getting close, y'all. We're getting close to see how long will Mr. Trump be able to stay in the race to run for president of the United States of America. Getting close. All right. Want to get out of here, Six? Want to get out of here, Six? Do it. Get honest.
Hey, Fred, y'all want to stay, y'all want to go. Y'all want to go home, y'all want to stay. What y'all want to do?
Hey, I was going to ask you guys, have you heard about that thing about Hunter Biden? There's something about a computer mess. I got it in the mail. Somebody sent it to me. I'll have to try to remember. Maybe I can read it to you guys next week.
Okay.
because it's actually they sent me this from the Hillsdale College, and they get like exposés of different political figures. So when I find out where I put that thing, I'll read it to you guys.
Ruth, they're getting ready there. Put save it for next week. We're gonna get off of here. Wolfgang, I'm not gonna talk with you tomorrow, so I'm gonna need you to take over. I'm going to a tailgate party at my cousin's, so I'm not gonna be on the gospel show tomorrow. So I'll hold down the fort. That'll be great.
I'll miss you. Well, have fun though.
I will. So good night, America. You just enjoyed the 6 Hours Radio Network. Have a
good sleep.
All right. Good night, America.
All right. Good night.
Good night.